All right, here we go. Hey, guys, welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. This is a weird podcast. That's the first thing I'm going to say. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. Welcome to Celebration Week. Yep, it's happening, folks. Star Wars Celebration is nigh upon us. In fact, as you're listening to this podcast, I am probably on a plane or having just got off a plane, or I'll be getting on a plane to get there. But the saga of this week's podcast, episode 276, is that we actually did a great, I mean depressingly good podcast that was lost to history. And this hasn't happened to me in like 2 years, guys. It's ridiculous. I literally crashed the recording software accidentally. It's a long story. I don't need to get into it. But the point is, Bruce, Mark, and I did this great Celebration preview episode, and it got lost. So I'm literally sitting here solo at a study room at Georgia State University between classes, having borrowed a school recorder at the equipment lab, and that's how I'm doing this podcast. And it's not going to be very long, folks. But we do have some email. We've got the final Celebration updates. We got a little bit from Carrie Fisher and news about Mark and Carrie Fisher and a new book announcement and all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to actually go straight through it. The problem is with recording like this is that there's no awesome – what's the word I'm looking for? There's no awesome – well, sounders or anything. Oh, well. I'm sad. But that means, you know what, just put it in your mind as you're listening to it. So just imagine – we have something to report. Come closer. I have good news. That's good news. All right. Let's talk about it. Celebration. Let's get straight into it. This is where the rubber meets the road, guys. If you're going to the Star Wars Report dinner meetup, I've been talking about it for weeks. As you well know, make sure that if you've RSVP'd, you know who you are. Be there on time. 5 o'clock. We actually can't get access to our area of the restaurant until at least 70% of the people are there. So show up on time. Make sure you make it. It's the Cafe 22 Tango, 5 p.m. If you're listening to this podcast and you're at Celebration, you're still welcome. We prefer heads up if you could RSVP to the Facebook event. But we're right at capacity, so it's a pretty good time. It's, again, Cafe 22 Tango, 5 p.m. Friday of Celebration. It's going to be great. It's going to be right after the Last Jedi panel. Will be earlier that day, so we're going to get a chance to catch up on that. We're going to have a kind of mini, it's not a broadcast, because we don't technically have permission to, but we'll definitely be there with, we'll say some remarks for friends of the show and all the listeners there, and of course all the Star Wars Report podcasters who are there. So this is going to be a time to recognize people who help make this very podcast happen. And I went on this long tirade about being there on time. Unfortunately, Riley's going to be a little late because it bumps up against a panel that I'm on, which I will be getting off out of and then bolting straight over there. So the meetup starts at 5. Dinner proper starts at 5:30. That's when Riley arrives, and it just goes. I think we have it till at least 7. So we got plenty of time to hang out, catch up. Also, Celebration, the show, be there. Guys, I'm excited, but also kind of nervous. This is the first dedicated Star Wars Report podcast stage appearance for the podcast stage, and we are super lucky to be there. And here's the deal. A bunch of you guys have already RSVP'd at starwarsreport.com/liveonstage on our Facebook event there, and that's awesome, and it's great. But here's the thing. The room seats 200 people, and so I'm actually a little nervous. I want to pack the room. We have a great show. Steele Saunders is going to be amazing. Bruce is putting together these rogue Mad Libs. We're going to do a whole discussion segment. And High Adventure, we've confirmed it. High Adventure is performing three songs and is acting as our house band. So it's going to be a big show, and we've done so much. I mean, so much work and planning has already gone into this. So this is where I'm going to need some help. And I know a lot of you guys are listening to this, you're going to see me there, see me at the dinner, you're going to see Bruce and I and Bethany. We're going to be there actually with some flyers. We're going to be getting the word out. So if you want to be part of I'm putting together the unofficial Star Wars Report street team. I want to introduce the show properly to the celebration stage. So throughout the night, the disadvantage is we're doing the show on the quietest day on Sunday. The advantage is we're not really going up against any enormous panels, and we can use you guys. We need you guys. So if you see me anywhere during Star Wars Celebration, A, of course, come say hi, and we'll catch up and be best buddies. But also, like, if you want to help out, like, make this a great show, just ask me for a few flyers. You'll make my day. And you can be officially part of the street team. I'll be getting, I haven't done this yet, but I will be doing it during the convention. I'll be setting up a little group text system for the Star Wars Report official street team. So this is your chance. If you want to help out, make this show a big success, that's what we're going to do. So hey, hit me up either via Twitter or via email. Or at Celebration, if you see me. That's the plan. It's going to be... I'm so excited. I can't believe we've had this many pieces of the puzzle come together. And as far as I know, pretty sure we're the only podcast with a actual live house band on stage. So that's pretty cool. High Ventures, they're performing, of course, Farm Boy is the grand finale, but they're also going to be performing The Circle Is Now Complete, as well as X-Wing High. So they're going to be doing all three of those throughout the show. I couldn't be more happy about it. Let's talk about, well, and speaking of celebration, we're getting our final updates. It's getting, actually, I know like tomorrow morning, by around the time this podcast goes up, they're doing a big thing on Good Morning America. I think I saw this on Twitter. Mark Hamill and Daisy Ridley are showing up on Good Morning America, which means only one thing. They're teasing the teaser. Right, I bet they're going to show something or maybe a picture or something to really get people hyped for that Last Jedi panel. It's got to be. I know they haven't officially announced Daisy Ridley, but she's going to be there. She's going to be there. Riley's heart. I just know it in my heart. Hey, also Forrest Whitaker is going to be there, but he's not really going to be part of any of the official stage stuff. But he is doing something on the StarWars.com stage. Where they're doing the Star Wars show. And you know what? Speaking of celebration, we got an email from Greg. Greg Creek, who, by the way, Greg, see you at the dinner. I know you're going to be there. Here's what you need to do. Oh, wait. There it is. Sorry. Riley's scrolling through. What's funny is I'm recording this podcast in a little media room that students can use. So I feel like this is the fanciest. There's literally, like, sound padding on the walls. And I'm using this computer, which is projecting on this giant, like, 40-inch flat screen, the show notes. And I feel like, in fact, there's even a surround sound Bose speaker system. I'm not using it. I feel like I could hook up my iPhone. If I could hook up my computer, I could be playing the show jingles in a surround sound. But yeah, so this is an email from Greg. We're kind of talking about celebration stuff. He says, I got a quick question for you. This is my first Star Wars celebration, and so any advice would be helpful. I've heard that if you want to see the Last Jedi panel, then you should plan on getting in line for the wristband at, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, at 3 a.m. Ooh, that hurts. That hurts to think about. Have you heard anything about Star Wars Report listeners organizing any kind of spot saving, or is this generally considered bad taste? And then he goes on to say, see you at the dinner. We'll see you at the dinner, Greg. Yeah, this is a thing. So it's kind of yes and no. The answer to the question as far as saving spots in line, when to line up, this is what you need to know. I've been to two recent Reed-organized events that they used this wristband system. One was Celebration Europe, and the other was, of course, New York Comic Con. I love this system. I love it. In fact, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter like, I can't believe you have to get in line to get in line. All right, come on, people. Let's not whine too much, because having experienced this and comparing it to previous celebrations where you would literally, let me guys paint you the alternate picture of what used to happen. If you wanted to get into the Mark Hamill panel, you would find where they were queuing everyone, and they do a pretty good job of organizing it, but you would want to get in the queue hours early, and you would wait in line for 3, 4, 5 hours for some of these big panels, just literally sitting there in the queue hall. It's almost as bad as waiting in line for an exclusive. Sorry, had to throw the dig in there. It's not as bad, though. But it's still bad, like, because you're just waiting there. I mean, waiting in line is often fun. You can meet friends. There are great stories I've heard. But you get past that, like, second, third hour, it starts to get, like, you could be on the convention floor enjoying it. You could be at any number of the smaller panels instead of just waiting in line for forever. And what the wristbands do is that you can wait in line, but you do it in the morning. And typically, here's the way it's going to work. To answer your question, Greg, as far as, like, when to line up and can you save a spot, generally, here's what happens. The panel, the programming doesn't start till 11, and what they will probably do is open up the queue hall. They'll probably have a big queue hall in the morning that they'll open up sometime in the morning, maybe, I'm going to say, between, like, 6 and 8 a.m. They'll open it up for people to get into that queue hall. And then you get into this massive queue, and they may even split up which panels you can queue for at that point. But before that, people will also line up early into early in the morning / late at night. And that'll probably be like outside. They'll probably have a spot inside the convention center somewhere where you can get together. But that won't be for the, like, for lack of a better term, official line. So the official line where they open up the queues for the wristbands for the various most popular, they usually only do this for, like, the really popular panels. So, for example, Thursday, that 40th anniversary that everyone's hyping up, you're going to have, here's the hard and fast rule, if you ask me. Your safe bet is going to be between 5 and 7 a.m. You're going to be safe to get into the main room for the big panels if you're in line by 5 to 7 a.m. You could probably go as late as 8 or 9 and still have a decent chance. Certainly, you'll still get in one of the overflow auditoriums because they're doing that. But as far as saving a spot, if you want, like, to be among the first and have a great seat and you're amongst those people getting in line at midnight or 1, 2, 3 a.m., you can. And at that point, depending on how much management they're putting in, you can probably save a spot. People aren't going to be too mad. But after it starts getting past 6, 7, 8 a.m., you can probably count on not being able to get people in. So I know that a lot of this stuff is, like, with kids. It's really hard to, if you've got family traveling with you, it's hard to get in line at, you know, 5 a.m. and get the kids up, and that's probably not a good call. But you can still get to the overflow rooms, and the overflow auditoriums are still a lot of fun. Oh, look, this recorder. Sorry, guys. Hang on. This recorder, I'm going to screw this in. I just realized there's a handle. I'm sure this is making great audio. There's a handle on this thing you can screw in. Look at that. Oh, I just panicked and was staring at the recorder, making sure, is this thing on? Yes, it is. Thank God. All right. So, yeah, there's Andrew Craig saving a spot as far as the time. You can save a spot, but I wouldn't bet on it much past, like, 5 or 6 a.m. I know the people at Reed, by the way, just shout out to the people at Reed. Like, I am nothing if not honest when it comes to my experience and what I do have strong opinions on the way people run stuff professionally. I think it has to do with my experience in ROTC and choosing the military as a career, but, like, I value professionalism and communication and clarity. And Reed, you know what, for some of the complaining that's been going on, they've put out some excellent material. This is all on the Celebration website, on where and how to queue and what to expect and the organization of the wristband systems. Whenever I've seen any volunteers or any of the Reed people at any of these events, Star Wars Celebration, New York Comic Con, I've never had a bad experience, and they're always super professionals. As far as Reed goes, I've never had a bad experience. That's not to say the same for other conventions I've been to or people I've worked with in the world of media. But Reed, you know, I'm just going to gush for a second. Here's the deal, guys. Riley's brief aside about fan media. When it comes to the way you view what your job is, which, and I'm going to stick with the positive example. I'm going to stick with Reed because they're awesome about this. If you go to a press room that they're running, or if you go to get in line where they're managing the wristbands, there's no preferential treatment, and there is a level of professionalism of, like, this is my job, I will do it well, regardless who or what the circumstances are, who I'm working with. This is my job. So, like, when it comes to the people at Reed when they do press stuff for the fan sites, or whether when it comes to the people at Reed when they're organizing the lines, I've never seen any unprofessionalism. I've just seen just the height of dedication to making this stuff awesome. Like, the only place I've ever seen a greater dedication to making the experience awesome is maybe Disney, the Disney parks. And that's saying something. So, bravo to Reed. I love those people. They're good people, right? Good people. Hey, Carrie Fisher's in episode 9. According to her brother, Todd Fisher, of course, with tons of speculation, we knew she would be in episode 8, that she'd finish shooting it. But according to Todd Fisher, who was at a opening night gala of the Turner Classic Movie Film Festival, he was there and said, quote, when asked about Carrie, said she's a in episode 9, she's a part of it as anything. I think her presence now is even more powerful than it was. Like Obi-Wan, when the saber cuts him down and he becomes more powerful. I feel like what's happened with Carrie, I think the legacy should continue. And he says, and I'm not the only one in the equation, but I think people deserve to see her, said Fisher. She's owned by them, and he said, oh, he had total faith in the filmmakers, quote, doing great things. You can't mess with his legacy. It would be like rewriting the Bible. The Star Wars is the holy grail of storytelling lore, and you can't mess with it. So we talked about the story, like, in the first edition of this show that got lost to history. Upon a second review, one wonders, I don't have the audio and video, I am willing to bet very much that Todd Fisher might be thinking of episode 8, and they were asking him about episode 9, and he gave this long answer about how she's staying involved and a presence throughout episode 9 when he meant episode 8. Because here's the thing, they haven't shot episode 9 yet. So unless she already... All right, and now we get into Mark's theory of, like, unless they already plan to kill her off in episode 8, which would be just devastating on so many levels. Can you imagine, like, if they already shot and wrote episode 8 and the death of General Leia is already in that movie and they had wrapped shooting it? Like, talk about, like, a weird premonition of life. That's almost perversely poetic. It's awful, but, man... That just occurred to me. But having said that, it looks like the articles and what's hitting the internet by storm is, of course, everyone saying, you know, talking about just the absolute, how absolutely incredible it is that she's in episode 9, confirmed. Now I'm kind of hesitant, though, now that I think about it. I don't know. Also, hey, you guys see this Operation Blue Milk from Del Rey? They tweeted this out. Quote, for a long time, we've been planning a great Star Wars book codenamed hashtag Operation Blue Milk. Now, of course, you guys know what I thought when I saw this. I thought back to the Del Rey party gathering soiree that they had at New York Comic Con at a local brewing factory place. And they served blue milk. Which was basically, I think it was basically a combination, I don't even know what it was. They were serving some combination of a white ration and then just putting food coloring in it probably and called it blue milk. But I have a feeling whatever that was probably would have tasted better than what the actual blue milk was in the movies. But who is it? They teased it for a while, and there was a lot of guessing going on, but they did make the official announcement. Del Rey is putting together for the 40th anniversary of Star Wars... 40 short stories from 40 Star Wars authors in this book called Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, the anthology book that celebrates 40 years of a galaxy far, far away. So what this is are 40 short stories set in the universe of Star Wars, specifically set in the universe of A New Hope, and they have collected all of these short stories and they have attached a bunch of absolutely awesome contemporary authors contributing to the to this project. Now, a couple cool things about this. A, does this sound familiar? Perhaps a little like Tales of the Mos Eisley Cantina or Tales of the Bounty Hunter, some of Riley's absolute favorite books from the old expanded universe? Yes, that's exactly what it is. Only instead of the authors of the 90s, although they have some of them returning here. We have E.K. Johnson and Ashley Eckstein. We have John Jackson Miller. We have Gary Whitta. We have Chuck Wendig. We have Paul Dini. Nice. Christy Golden, Jason Fry, Paul Kemp. It's a who's who of some of the best writers in the world of Star Wars. And not just that, they're also, each author is generously donating the proceeds from the book to along with Penguin Random House, who's donated $100,000 to first book, and Lucasfilm's donating $100,000 of children's books, valued at $1 million to protect first book. And the first book is the leading nonprofit that provides new books, learning materials, and other essentials to educators. So this first book charity is the benefactor when you purchase your very own copy of Star Wars From a Certain Point of View. Pre-orders are available now. It comes out in October. I, ladies and gentlemen, will be buying this book. I'm very excited about it. I'm all about this. It's very manageable. One short story at a time. Riley can do it. Insert your jokes about Riley not reading right now. Go ahead. Go for it. Fine. I don't care. I just, you know, sometimes the books are a little not as good as Riley would like. But he won't go into that right now, even though he kind of wants to. Hey, guys. So that's kind of a short episode. I miss Bruce and Mark and the awesome other alternate version. But here's what you can do. Just be at Celebration and see us live in person, StarWarsReport.com/liveonstage, RSVP. Come up to me at the convention, tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, Riley, put me on your street team. And I'll give you some flyers and you can tell your friends who are at the convention or people you meet in line, say, hey, you know, Sunday there ain't as much going on in the afternoon. You could be here Sunday? Well, if so, you should come to this podcast show where they're doing Rogue Mad Libs, because I'm very interested to see what Bruce comes up with, because he's going to be doing this, and it's going to be a fantastic time. We're going to do a series of Mad Libs, audience participation, and we're going to recreate some of the classic scenes in Star Wars live on stage with Steele Saunders, and then at the end we will be doing a dramatic reading of said scenes, and he is both the Fode and Bede. How's that for a Phantom Menace reference? The Fode and Bede, the master of ceremonies for this particular segment, doing a live read, a dramatic reading of the final product, will be none other than my Star Wars Stories, Scott Rifen. And it's going to be amazing. So, live performance by High Adventure, the illustrious presence of broadcasting legend Scott Rifen, comedian extraordinaire Steele Saunders. You couldn't ask for a better crew. It's funny, what I'm most nervous about, I know all that will go fine. What I'm most nervous about is honestly my part, because I wrote the show. I mean, I've been putting way a ton of prep in this. Maybe too much, but like, this is Riley pulling back the behind the scenes. I wrote the show opening and closing that I'm delivering. Like, for you guys who are into musical theater, this is the Valjean's soliloquy. I have, like, and I know I've mentioned on the show last week, but I have this, I really hope it turns out, this really personal story of Star Wars and my kind of the Disney magic as it became real to me through discovery and through friends and this sort of shared experience. And I'm very anxious to actually tell the tale. Tale as old as time. There we go. There's the insert Beauty and the Beast reference. I'm very interested in telling that tale in its proper form. This is the best forum, I think, for it. And I have this, I only hope it is half as poignant as I hope it is, because there's a very personal aspect of Star Wars to me that's developed because of friendship, and I feel like this story best represents it. So I've been prepping it, and not now I'm hyping it up, I guess, but I think it's really good. It's a good message that's important for this time for both Star Wars fans and really anybody. And I think I'm really hoping it's kind of the message of Farm Boy, you know? Just a farm boy with dust in his eyes and a princess from pastures of green. Lonesome rebel, she sent out a call. He picked it up on his machine. Now I'm just going to the dramatic recitation of all the Farm Boy lyrics. A handsome rogue with a lopsided grin. All right. So yeah, go see that song performed live at Star Wars Celebration. StarWarsReport.com/live on stage. Also come to dinner. Shoot me an email or Twitter. You're welcome to come. If you're at Star Wars Celebration, it's 5 p.m. 5 p.m. Show up sharp. 5 p.m. at the Cafe 22 Tango. It's going to be a rowdy, rollicking time. We're going to have special remarks, recognition of the folks there. Some special giveaways. We'll be giving away the Star Wars Report buttons. We actually might have a couple spare t-shirts from the order if you didn't get a chance to order yours. We'll have a few there, I believe. I'm working on those details now. Greg, thank you so much for your email. By the way, Greg emailed me. You can do so as well. It's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. And, of course, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Twitter.com/StarWarsReport, and we do really appreciate those iTunes reviews. You can do so, and we really need some more ones, some more reviews. It always really helps the show. Make sure that you go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. It takes you straight there to the iTunes store. Crikey, that's a show. Have you seen the trailer? Hey, have you guys seen the freaking Thor trailer? It's so good. I thought I was so excited. It's like freaking Thor and the Hulk, and they've got the helmets, and it's like somewhere in a Disney executive panel like 2 years ago, someone was like, "Hey, in the Thor movie, what if we gave the Hulk a freaking Warhammer? How about that?" And everybody at the table was like, "Yeah." And then I saw the trailer, and Riley was like, "Yeah." But this isn't the Thor podcast. That wraps up this really rudimentary episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will see you at Celebration, or enjoy, of course, our constant Celebration coverage on the podcast here and across all of our social media channels. So make sure you're staying tuned there. Until next time, may the Force be with you, and remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.